Delighted to introduce today Kim Lauby. Kim has a fascinating story to tell. She is the executive director of an extraordinary nonprofit organization called Human Understanding and Growth Services, who has an amazing impact on our communities and, frankly, our country. Kim also serves as a speaker and consultant and trainer for organizations around the country. So really delighted to have you today, Kim.
Well, thanks for having me today. What a pleasure.
Yeah, great. So first, let's take them in order. Let's start with HUGS, Human Understanding and Growth Services. Tell us about the organization, its mission, and I'll be particularly interested in how you started there. Mm. And let's spend a little time talking about your consulting and speaking practice.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to start with the things that I love so much, right? I am the executive director of HUGS, which means when I walk into a room and I'm introduced, people never know, should they give me a hug or shake my hand? And either way, I'm good with both. So I was fortunate enough to come and get involved with this organization when I was just 15 years old. And
wow.
Yeah, and it was a great story about a kid who kind of was struggling and floundering and really couldn't find her way, but certainly had leadership potential, as many kids do have leadership potential. Like, we sometimes think leadership is naturally born, but leadership can be grown and developed. And we know that, especially through Vistage, right? But this opportunity presented itself to me when a community leader saw something in me I couldn't even see in myself. And she encouraged me to go on this weekend leadership training. Now, at that point, I thought leadership was for the shiny kids, for the good kids, for the kids the teachers always picked. And I didn't think it was something for me.
Yeah.
And although the story is much longer than this, the real truncated piece of it is, or the Reader's Digest version, if you will, she gave me this opportunity to go to this camp with over 100 other kids from all over Long Island who came together with the sole mission of wanting to create change and wanting to make a difference, not only in their own personal lives, but how could they be beacons of hope in the community? And although I didn't have the money to attend, she paid for me. I didn't have a way to get to Shelter Island. She drove me out there. My mom was not going to let me go on this thing and go away for the weekend. And she called my mom, and she really facilitated this weekend. And it wasn't just getting a kid to a camp for a weekend. It was about getting a kid to a camp for a weekend that was going to change the trajectory of her life. Mm-hmm. And I got out to that camp, and they were talking about emotional intelligence. They were talking about being change makers. They were talking about finding their own voice and building confidence and learning leadership styles. And for the first time in my life, I had found a weekend where I was with my people.
We were,
and it was so profound that it literally changed my trajectory. And I always said, it's where the growth in my journey began. And as a result of that, because I never know when to leave a party, Jeff, right? As a result of that, I'm now the executive director today, many, many years later.
Wow.
Been in that role since 2002. And although many people think I'm the founder of HUGS, I'm not, but I'm a product of its leadership weekends and have worked on every level you could possibly work at within the organization, from volunteer to administrative assistant to program director to now executive director. And, you know, look forward to watching it grow into this multifaceted prevention organization that it is. And go ahead.
Tell me about those the mission and those different dimensions. It's a wonderful acronym.
Mm-hmm.
The organization does so many extraordinary things. Share with our audience.
Right. So when people hear drug and alcohol prevention, and that's what we are specialists in, they suddenly make some ideas in their mind that it's only for a certain group of kids and prevention is only for kids. But really, what we do is community-based prevention.
Hmm.
We're looking at how we can improve the wellness of a community. And so our mission is really about creating change agents and is really about bringing together key stakeholders to walk through processes that not only begin to say, we think this is what a community should do, but we actually have some science behind it that we bring it through problem analysis that we're able to really take a look at, like, hey, here are the strengths of a community. Here are challenges within a community, and how do we build upon protective factors in a community?
It sounds like you're really building healthier communities.
And we are. And the beautiful thing is we have data to prove all that it is that we do. So we don't just do it by doing one program. We have multiple programs across different cross sectors of the community. So we certainly still have our youth leadership camp out on Shelter Island that is just really follows what we call the Teen Institute model. It is all about bringing together different teams from different schools. We bring kids away for a weekend. They turn in their cell phones. So if you can just picture a camp with 125 teenagers with no cell phones.
With no cell phones.
And here's the fascinating thing is they embrace it. Parents, not so much, right? Because we've become accustomed as a parent, you can be in constant communication with your kid. So we really kind of unplug for the weekend. We call it we disconnect to connect. And then we spend the weekend through a variety of team building activities and learning opportunities and hearing their peers share stories and really learning different techniques. And so the super great thing is by the end of the weekend, these kids came from all different walks of life, because we don't ask for just one type of kid. We want kids who have influence in all the different subcultures within their schools. Sure. And so then they go back and they're fired up about life. They've just spent this weekend being unconditionally loved, unconditionally supported, learning things that a lot of adults have never even learned. And they start their journey to self-actualization, really, is what begins to happen. So we're a little drug and alcohol prevention. We're a whole lot of emotional intelligence, learning and development, right? Included in there is that social connection of really connecting, not just connecting through cell phones, but how do we really spend time together and how do we sharpen our leadership skills? And so that's what we spend these weekends doing. And when we're not doing that, we're providing education. What does drug and alcohol prevention mean? And what does creating a psychologically safe workplace environment look like for your local deli, for your corporate landscape? And so we train not just youth, but we go into corporations and we do team building with them. We do strategic planning with them. We can teach them naloxone training. We can give them naloxone trainings, which is drug overdose reversals. And so our kind of menu of services we provide is quite large and quite grand from a pretty small, intimate staff that really can go out and create all sorts of opportunities.
And the needs in that space are huge. I mean, we hear so much about opioid addiction, alcohol abuse, mental health issues, something that I care about very much. What an extraordinary impact. And let's transition now to your public speaking. So I just did a quick glance on your LinkedIn, and I only scrolled down a couple of pages, and you have spoken or trained or been a keynote address speaker in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Arkansas, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Illinois, Alabama, Florida. Where have you not been, Kim Lauby?
Right.
What are you doing in these different locations?
Right. So, you know, so I am working on the United States Virgin Islands. I want to hit that as the next place. You know, there's a couple of key states, but yeah, it's been, you know, I've always been a speaker, and I've always kind of used my story and stories of others to really humanize this life thing that we're all growing through, right? We kind of think things like, if I talk about mental health, that might mean that I'm not strong. And so what I love is just kind of like, let's normalize talking about how we're all, you know, we're all in this process of growth and development. And whether we're talking about addiction or we're talking about mental health or we're talking about positive psychology, we're really developing and offering these keynotes to audiences of youth, audience of parents, communities, corporate audiences, where we are really just making the space better, where we're talking about things that oftentimes people hide and they don't talk about it, and they're kind of caught in the stigma of it.
Yes.
And we talk about it in a safe way where we realize we're all impacted by this. And whether we have the same story or not, we can see shades of our story in somebody else's story. And we can begin to talk about what the resilience is and what even the resilience from us all walking through COVID was. COVID's had a major impact on how we operate, how we feel, what we're experiencing. So we actually take time to really kind of unpack some of that stuff so that we can and move forward. And so a lot of my keynotes lately have just really been about resilience, have been about positive psychology, have been about tools on how do we reconnect after the great disconnect. And we've been having a lot of fun doing it.
Sure. A lot of topics there of applicability to organizations from any sector, whether it's, you mentioned resilience, emotional intelligence, connecting, motivating, inspiring. Talk a little bit about the value to organizations and some examples of the sorts of addresses that and workshops that you do with organizations and companies.
Right. So we've had a lot of fun, you know, just taking a step back and making this work accessible, right? Oftentimes, it's not easy for organizations to bring in a high paid speaker or to even do strategic planning. And so we've really kind of created this nice formula of working with organizations in a way, and they can take a deeper dive down the road with other folks as they want, but really kind of putting voice to and exposing some blind spots organizations may not see, talking about how we can maximize each other's strengths, but really how do we build up the individuals within the organizations? How do they begin to find their personal strength and value in how that all impacts the team, and how do we all work together stronger? And so it really has been this great journey of using kind of our example of what we've done on Tina's. Like, we can bring 125 kids together for a weekend long without cell phones, and by the end have these products that they produce about making their communities and their environments healthier. We use a lot of those same techniques that are connective, that are engaging, and they are ways that people can say, ah, I got it. I see it, without having to ponder and think and really work hard. It's just a real easy way of bringing people together and working on solutions together. And whether that means professionally or personally, and I'm one of those people who believes professionally, personally impacts your professional. And so it really is all.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's no Chinese wall between our personal lives and our work lives, right? It's all of a piece. So tell me about what led you to join Vistage. We met through a mutual colleague.
Yeah.
What led you to join Vistage?
So it's, you know, it's interesting. I'm always in this kind of like, I believe when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And I also believe, right. Like, and I had been kind of in this place of, okay, I'm not at peak performance, but I'm definitely was hitting different notes and different strides in my professional career. And I was like being seen as a leader. And I also have really worked to always make sure that I have a mentor younger than me and a mentor older than me. And what I found,
I love that practice.
First of all, it's so important. It just helps me keep a little sharper, right?
Sure.
But what I found was I was struggling to kind of find a mentor who understood, although Hugs is very linear in our approach with our staff, it all still rests on my shoulders. Yeah. And so as much as we're very linear in operations, and we're all part of this team, there was a lot of stuff that was holding on me at the end of the day that staff wasn't holding. And I didn't know where to turn to with it.
Right.
And so I had done a lot of kind of like looking, okay, what can come into this space to meet this? And we had some peer groups going, but again, I wound up being the leader of the peer group. I needed to be a student, right? And so interestingly enough, timing always works. We do have this mutual friend who I actually have been doing some team building with his staff and doing some coaching with his staff and having a grand time. with them. And, you know, and it just really brought you into our space. Now, the interesting thing was, because he's also a friend, I'd been kind of following, like, there was a different spring in his step in his leadership in kind of like, I just saw him kind of coming into his own.
As a result of his Vistage experience.
As a result of him being part of Vistage. Yeah. And I had been hearing like little, nope, I learned this in this group. I learned this in this group. And I was like, well, that kind of sounds like my group. Like, how do I get into that group? Yeah. So the timing, it just kind of aligned in a great position for us.
Thank you for sharing that, Kim. I remember in our very first conversation, you shared the dynamic that you touched on, namely that you're a leader of groups and you have a very nurturing, you're a great listener, you're a great connector. And that I experienced that from the first day I met you. Mm. And you talked about how people turn to you and you have found that that you needed someone where you, like you could, and you mentioned it, where you could be a peer and where you could ask your questions and explore your issues. So, and let's move to that. One of our practices in Vistage is issue processing. You processed an issue a couple of months ago. Talk about that experience and the value you received.
Right. So issue processing, what I love about Vistage's way to do it is that it gives space to get meaningful pieces that come out of it, but it's very, you don't get to sit and brainstorm forever. You don't get to sit and have circular conversations. You don't get to kind of sit and say, well, I think this could be, right? Like, it's a very prescribed way of walking through this process that helps.
More than just admiring the problem, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And I love it because, you know, I'm somebody who could get caught in, what do they call it? Paralysis by analysis, yes. Right? Like,
yes. You're not alone. You're not alone.
Right, looking at all the different things, and again, and I will just say, as a not-for-profit, and this is, I will be a little, you know, selfish, that one of the nuggets for me is we don't get business exposure a lot, right? We don't get business thought a lot, and so it's easy to kind of just be driven by grants, and so that kind of entrepreneurial thinking that can help grow, because not-for-profit as a business, we just can't, we just look differently at the end of a year than what a for-profit does. And we don't measure, you know, we measure services rather than measure, you know, income, earning potentials and all that. So,
but you've got all the organizational challenges that every other organization has: engagement, performance metrics, objectives, strategy.
Right.
There's really no difference in the day-to-day running of the organization. Yes, the outcome, as you rightly point out, but it's not easy being a nonprofit leader.
It's not. And that's one of the things I was so blown away with through issue processing, not just my own, but of others. I was like, oh, they're going through the same thing I am, right? Like the same thing. And that was so great because one, it kind of normalizes this thing of, you know, like we're all in this growth process and not one of us has the exact perfect way to do it the right way, but collectively we can kind of coach one another up and mirror for one another the lessons we need to learn for ourselves.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Find those solutions, right?
And talk a little bit more about the culture of the group. You know, individuals have their identity, groups have their identity. What's the identity and the culture of our group?
Right. So I feel like there have become this like trusted council for me, right? This group that, and I have no question, if I sent an email right out to our group right now that said, I am really struggling with this and I need help. And, you know, like, I don't know what to do as a leader right now. First of all, the phone calls would start first, right? Yeah. It wouldn't even be, people would answer in email. They'd be like, hey girl, let's talk. Like, you know, it's been a long time since I've had those go-to places, you know, for other things in my life, but never from a professional point of view.
Sure.
So I feel that I have this trusted counsel. We all are, you know, we are all working to sharpen our, you know, iron sharpens iron. Yeah. right? And I know that's so overused, and I don't want to overuse it because I really want to, you know, have the understanding that the value is by, if I'm coming from a place of, I just want to do this better, and how can I do that? And allowing others and trusting that space. And I think that's the, you know, my organization is all about creating safe spaces. And I love when I find organizations that are doing the exact same. And so Vistage for me has become that place where I could just be like, oh, I don't have to have all the answers, but I can help find the answers with you.
Sure. Yeah. No. And you yourself have such high emotional intelligence. You have an ability in our conversations to really ask questions to get at the heart of the issues, which I appreciate how you impact the group. The other part of Vistage, of course, are the one-to-ones. And I love our meetings, our conversations. What value? Tell us about the one-to-ones for you and the value that you receive.
Right. Again, it's that, you know, I know they say leadership can be lonely. It's lonely at the top. I've never really felt like it's so lonely at the top because I have this fantastic team, you know, and we work together. But again, those places where it's just kind of like grabbing a cup of coffee with a good friend of just, you know, but not again, staying in those circular conversations, but saying, okay, like, how are we not just going to talk about change, but what are the action steps that are going to be there? And, and that level of support to help walk through. And one of the things I love about you, Jeff, is you constantly meet us as leaders where we're at. And you kind of intuitionally or skillfully, however you want to say it, kind of know when to push, you know, and know when to, you know, coach us up and using that one-on-one space to really do that has been incredibly beneficial. And then there's this third entity of, well, actually there's probably four or five, right? So you've got our group that, you look forward to getting together and seeing, hey, how did John handle that issue from last month and following up with one another. So you've got this kind of, this part that works. And then there's the one-on-one part, but then there's the connection with your group members outside of group that becomes so incredibly important. But the other thing that I don't think I talk about enough in group or, that I, show my incredible value that I have on it is that Vistage community, that online community. There's so many times, just today, there was a question posted and I was like, that's a question I have too. And it's so great because I can go there and then kind of see other people and how they, it was a question about how do we handle paid time off? Now, I mean, I could do a search on the internet forever and try and see, but I don't really get leaders of organizations saying, here's how we're handling snow days. Yeah. Here's how, you know, especially as we learn and navigate this new hybrid place that so many people are embracing. It gives a whole other dimension of value to our membership.
Yeah, no, I think it's great to tease out that additional part, Kim, which is tremendously valuable. And you said it, it's people who are actually managing organizations, answering questions that other leaders have. Kim, in a couple of words, what's been the impact of Vistage on your own leadership, both on the personal side? We talked about that it's not one or the other, but personal and professional.
I think the two words, you know, it's not easy asking me to come up with a small amount of words, but I will say it clears a vision. Like it just clears a path. It moves some of the weeds and the junk away so that it's like, oh, I can see that. And one of the first, you won me over, or the group won me over, but you said it, so I'm going to give you direct credit for it. Is that it gives us a chance to work on our business and not in our business.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, we have to take time to think. Mm. We have to create space. And, and just to to highlight one of the values of membership, it was, we were through our meeting once and we were at lunch and we were just kind of like talking. And one of the members of my group talked about how he loves just driving down the road with no music on, that's his transitional time when we go from that kind of like work head to now sure. have to be a family person and, you know, and turn that off. He just talks about how he uses that space in quiet to just drive and bring it down here. Well, this was just a lunch conversation. It wasn't even part of, you know, an organized discussion group. And then the member who was listening to him tried it and talked about the value that had. So there are these nuggets and these things that you pick up both formally and informally that just help us clear the pathway for success in whatever that means in our lives.
Sure. Yeah. Really well put. I love that example that you gave, which I remember that conversation and the other individual trying it and immediately getting value. So you're a nonprofit leader. There are other nonprofit leaders across Vistage. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't aware of that. And what advice would you give to other nonprofit leaders like yourself who may be looking for a peer group, who may be considering Vistage?
Right. You know, if you're in the behavioral field, healthcare field that I am in, definitely is a space of burnout right now, compassion fatigue, vicarious trauma, all those big words that we kind of put on of just kind of saying there's a lot of demand on us right now and we're pretty exhausted. Whether that's the not-for-profit space you're in or all the other not-for-profit spaces that had to pivot during this time, that I had to figure out what fundraising looks like now and really begin to get to their missions and their purpose. I think Vistage came to this organization and to me at the right time. And so if you're Vistage curious, you know, if you're kind of like, hey, and you're looking at budgets and you're looking at stuff, I think the coaching value, especially for your leadership, really will help get your not-for-profit to the next level of its capability and beyond.
Well put. Kim Laube, Executive Director of Human Understanding and Growth Services, national speaker, consultant, and trainer. Really an honor and a pleasure, Kim, to pick your brain, all that you shared, all that you bring not only to Vistage and to me as the chair of the group, but what you bring to the community in the various ways that you serve others. So thank you so much, Kim, for all that you bring and all that you do.
Thank you so much. And thanks for sharing in our journey.
My pleasure.